morning, everyone. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a frog in my throat this morning. Give a minute for this to load. I also will say I do not have any conflicts of interest as far as I know, so I think I'm officially supposed to say. I'm going to be presenting actually two different topics this morning, but part of the same study. The first is going to be about the sort of balancing of the emergency response role with the traditional public health role. And in the second presentation, and I'm going to just do these back to back so I won't have to repeat the methods or anything. The second presentation, I will focus on the unanticipated functions of people who were a part of the public health workforce, things that were not traditionally part of their job that landed on their plate and sort of how they responded to that. That's okay. We're getting there. Let me get some water.
Anybody know how to make this beautiful?
Yeah, Erin, hit F5. It's ready to go. I think it's...
If I only knew how to type.
Sorry about this. Apparently, this is not a strong point of anyone on the panel. Usually, it just has a slideshow.
Right.
So, resume, maybe? No? I'm sorry.
No.
So, we're reloading? Well, we may just have to do it like this and just hit toggle down.
Right-click on the slide,
and then
full screen.
Got it.
Yeah.
Right-click or left? Oops.
There we go.
We got it. Okay. Thank you very much. So first, let me thank my collaborators, David Abramson to my right, Perry Levis, who's not here, Joyce Moon Howard, and Peggy Honore. And I'm not sure Peggy made it this morning. She is at the conference. More importantly, we would all like to thank the leadership and staff of the Louisiana State Department of Health, the City of New Orleans Department of Health, and the Mississippi State Department of Health for sharing their extraordinary experiences and insights. And a very special thanks to Erin Brewer, who really facilitated tremendously in Louisiana, giving us introductions to many people who participated. And we'd like to thank Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding the study. So I'm going to start out with a quote from one of the participants. I'm hopeful that this was a once-in-a-lifetime event. I'm hoping that all the lessons we learned from this are chronicled and put into a book for the next generation, and that I never have to pull that book out and look for those answers. So, and I think, how do you train staff for the worst national disaster we've ever seen in this country? How does anyone wrap their mind around getting ready for that? So how the study was conducted, we have a purpose of sample of 50 key informants that we identified by leadership from the three participating health departments, and they were invited to participate in this Hurricane Katrina Oral History Project. The individuals were identified on the basis of their role in disaster-related responsibilities, and they included both organizational leaders as well as a smaller number of line staff. We wanted to get some different perspectives, depending on position. The study was described as to potential participants as an oral history, which for those of you who are not familiar with it, I will tell you a little bit in a minute, that was being conducted to better understand the role of public health in responding to the disaster, as well as to create a permanent record of these historic events that would be available in local universities for future study. So both in Louisiana and Mississippi, there are universities that have oral health departments and repositories, and this material is available in those for people to use locally. We were very fortunate to have been able to interview 45 out of the 50 people that were identified. Among those we were not able to identify, they had left their positions and some had left the state. We conducted in-depth qualitative interviews. They lasted from an hour and a half to 2 hours, and they were conducted 9 to 13 months after the disaster. The interviews were audiotaped and transcribed. The transcripts were returned to the interviewees for review and correction. That was not to edit them in the sense of changing the language, but just if there were proper names that were incorrect, so on and so forth. We then conducted the investigators a thematic analysis, much as was just previously described, with the research team, and from that developed a code book. Once we had the code book developed, we had two independent coders using that code book, and we were able to calculate an inter-rater reliability of 0.85 with the two coders. I should just say in passing that we entered it into a software program. That's how we were able to get the inter-rater reliability. A minute about oral history as a tool in public health systems research. It provides personal accounts and observations of real events that have happened by the participants in their events. It allows the researchers to document those events and to really identify the themes, not that we impose upon them, but that come from the data. It provides opportunities to look at the interface between some of the organizational issues, some of the contextual issues of the environment, what was going on, and to kind of tease out what did the picture really look like. And finally, it allows for historical data that can be used for future research. So the first theme that I'm going to talk about is what does it mean to be a public health first responder? As we all know, the expectations for public health disaster preparedness have greatly increased since 9/11, and more money has been flowing in to leadership in the workforce training. This is a quote from a Mississippi State public health official. Public health is not used to being a response system. It's used to being a public health system. Well, the incidents of 9/11 and Katrina and the threat of bioterrorism, chemical terrorism, agroterrorism, and all of this has really, public health has had to shift gears and become a response agency. The second theme I'm going to talk about is how public health has addressed the need to create an emergency response capacity. Well, the leadership's responded in really three different ways. One is the training of public health professionals in emergency response. The second, and this is not across all departments, but in many, recruitment of emergency response personnel, people that are trained really as emergency responders. And the third is capacity building through strategic partnerships with community agencies. So what are some of the challenges? Well, the challenges for public health employee training is that the skills necessary to carry out public health functions really differ significantly from emergency response skills. There's also the problem of an aging public health workforce, which may not be able to function as first responders, either because of family responsibilities or because of physical limitations. And finally, the identification with a traditional public health role may be really able to create some barriers to actually identifying with this new role. So this is one quote to demonstrate that. Emergency response staff are a certain kind of people. Public health people are a certain kind of people. And they've been able to come to the table, but when you look at this kind of disaster, all right, you need EMS, you need first responder kind of people, and you need dynamic people who can. And I'm not saying that public health don't have those kind of people, but it's just not what they're used to doing. You know, our workforce is an aging workforce, and I think the mindset of our older nurses was like, okay, this is enough for me, and that was the final straw that broke the camel's back, and we'll call it quits after this. So we've had a lot of people who've gone into early retirement. So what are the challenges of bringing emergency responders into the public health world? Well, there is a difficulty in integrating these two cultures. There's the lack of public health experience on the part of some first responders, and there's the risk of having parallel versus an integrated workforce if people are operating under two different paradigms. So in most every state, the lead coordinating agency for emergency response is the public health department. The problem is that most emergent need for public health and medical is not public health. It's the medical, the hospitals, the community health centers, and the emergency medical services. And in most cases, public health as an entity, no matter how well trained, versed, and experienced they are, don't have that expertise within their realm. Now, this is a response by a participant who was actually trained as an emergency responder. So there we have a statement from someone who was trained as a public health person. The federal government, even police, firefighter, and all of these first responder kind of people think that public health is kind of touchy-feely. So the next theme is, how does public health manage the conflicting demands of traditional response and disaster response? Sorry. So one of the participants said, you're going to start focusing and demanding time to be given to preparing for a response. Then they're not going to give shots, dispense WIC products, test for drip and clap and HIV and all these other things we do in public health. So it doesn't necessarily mean you give up one to do the other, but the odds are, if you're going to prepare, given a limited number of resources, then you're going to have to scale back on some of the clinical side to spin out the response side with limited personnel. I don't have an additional 1,000 or many thousands to send to the coast. They have to come from a clinic somewhere, and that clinic is going to be delivering less service. I should have referenced this earlier. I did a similar study with New York City Department of Health after 9/11, and we looked back at the New York data to see if there were similarities and themes in that. And there are a couple of similarities that I thought were important to share with you. Historically, there have been significant challenges to integrating the cultures of public health and that with the Office of Emergency Management. These result from the nature of the mission of each agency. Public health must always be focused on the larger population issues, while emergency responders are concerned with the health and safety of the individual. That's not my statement, it's a statement of one of the public health leaders. This is another theme that was similar in 9/11. Things have been piling up, like STD things, and I've been spending 80 to 90% of my time on emergency response stuff. I feel very remiss towards my program. What's more important? I had to keep delegating and not really knowing all the details of what's going on. That's uncomfortable for me. So here are the conclusions on this particular presentation. There are inherent tensions to the integration of first responder and public health roles that really need to be acknowledged. The traditional public health workers need clear guidelines and expectations for their emergency response roles that are really consistent with their skills and training. Emergency response staff need to recognize that public health environment and its primary mission. Because of the demands on public health and emergency response are likely to far exceed the resources available, it's essential to build strategic community partnerships that can fill some of those gaps. I have to switch into another program, and we are going to save questions to the end. I'm going to hit escape. I think that's how I got to it before. Okay.